Translation. Lord Brahma, the Supreme Person within this universe, said, "My dear Priyavrata, kindly hear attentively what I shall say to you. Do not be jealous of the Supreme Lord who is beyond our experimental measurements. All of us, including Lord Shiva, your father, and the great sage Maharshi Narada, must carry out the order of the Supreme. We cannot deviate from his order." Purport of the 12 great authorities in devotional service for Lord Brahma himself, his son Narada, Swayambhuva Manu and Lord Shiva were present before Priyavrata. They were accompanied by many other authoritative sages. Brahma first wanted to impress upon Priyavrata that although these great personalities are all authorities, they cannot personally disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described in this verse as Deva, which means always glorious. The power, glory, and potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be diminished. In the Isha Upanishad, the Lord is described as apapavidha, which indicates that he is never affected by anything materially considered sinful. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being so powerful that nothing we might consider abominable can affect him. An example sometimes given to explain the position of the Supreme Lord is that of the sun, which evaporates urine from the earth but is never affected by contamination. The Supreme Lord can never be accused of doing anything wrong. When Lord Brahma went to induce Priyavrata to accept the responsibility for ruling the universe, he did not go whimsically. He was following the dictations of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, Brahma and other genuine authorities never do anything without his permission. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, "Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavye." The Lord dictated Vedic knowledge to Brahma through his heart. The more a living entity is purified by devotional service, the more he comes in direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, "Teshang satata yuktanang bhajatang priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogang tang yena mam upayanti te." To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Lord Brahma, therefore, had not come to Priyavrata by his own whims. Rather, it is understood that he had been ordered to persuade Priyavrata by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities cannot be understood by material senses and who is therefore described herein as aprameya. Thus, Lord Brahma first advised Priyavrata to hear his words with attention and without envy. Why one is induced to perform certain acts despite his desire to do something else is indicated herein. One cannot disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord, even if one is as powerful as Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Manu, or the great sage Narada. All these authorities are certainly very powerful, but they do not have the power to disobey the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Lord Brahma had come to Priyavrata in accordance with the orders of the Supreme Lord, he first wanted to dispel any suspicions that he might be acting as Priyavrata's enemy. Lord Brahma was following the orders of the Supreme Lord, and therefore it would be worthwhile for Priyavrata to accept Lord Brahma's order as the Lord desired. Many important points in this verse, beginning with Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. And it's Lord Brahma speaking, it's not Lord Vishnu. Generally when Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, that introduces Lord Vishnu speaking. But, as Srila Prabhupada elaborates in the purport, what Brahma is saying is fully in accord with what Lord Vishnu says. Apart from Brahma himself being powerful and thus, at least contextually, being fit for being addressed as Bhagavan, what he says is in line with the Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, the original personality of Godhead. Now at first he tells Priyavrata, just listen to me, listen to what I have to say. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport states that Lord Brahma states, listen to me, because Priyavrata might have thought that Lord Brahma was coming as his enemy. Doesn't sound possible, does it? But Brahma had this feeling that he may be thinking, I'm acting as his enemy. Of course, one can act as an enemy knowingly or unknowingly. Priyavrata might have thought that Brahma is my well-wisher, but he does know how to advise me properly in this instance, because he's a grihastha. What is, you know, I'm a brahmachari, and he's a grihastha, and he wants to get me married, so I don't have to listen to him. He might have been thinking like that. Yeah, someone can act as an enemy even without knowing it. I mean, most of the population does that. Most of the people in the world, just like almost every parent is the enemy of their child, although they don't think so, because they don't teach them about Krishna consciousness. They give them meat and fish to eat, and they think, well, this is very good, they'll be very healthy, but they're going to hell by eating meat and fish. Due to being ignorant, Hare Krishna, almost everything that people do to try to help each other in the material world, although it's actuated by, it may be actuated by a sense of compassion, well-wishing, but it has the opposite result. Welfare workers, they try to help others, but they don't know how to, and often they give wrong advice. Just like in India, there's the, for the last generation or so, there's been all this advice or saying that the old system is very wrong, the women shouldn't follow their husbands, and Ram was wrong to treat Sita the way he did, and in this way they're spoiling the whole culture and the whole family life, but they think it's good. Everyone should have equal rights. Everyone should have the right to do whatever they like as much as they like, as long as it doesn't interfere with others, because they have no idea of what is the purpose of human life or how it can be lived in accordance with the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another important point here in the verse. So, Brahma is first of all saying, just listen, what I have to say. It's not just me coming, trying to make some managerial fix, because, you know, the temple president's about to bloop, the temple president of the universe, and we need someone to fit in the job. So stop being a brahmachari and get married and grow up, be sensible, be responsible, and it's time to take over the universe. So Brahma, he's saying, I'm not saying like that. What I'm saying is supported by all these great personalities and ultimately by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the four Mahajans of the 12 Mahajans. Of course, any devotee is a Mahajan. The actual Mahajan is Krishna. He's the greatest of all great persons. And anyone who is a devotee of Krishna is certified by Krishna as Mahajana or Mahatma. What's that verse? Well-known verse from Bhagavad Gita. Mahatmanastu maṁ partha daivīṁ prakṛtimāśritāha bhajantyananya manaso gyātvā bhūtādimavyayam. Lord Krishna, who himself is known as Mahatma, one of his names in Vishnu Sahasranam, he gives the same title to those who worship him fully, ananya manasa. Those who are fully devoted to him, without deviation, knowing him as the original, inexhaustible personality of Godhead, who are in the shelter of his divine energy. They are known as Mahatma. They are not affected by the material energy. So, Yamaraj has given a list of 12 Mahajan, means the same thing as Mahatma, of which, so he gave some examples, means even among Mahatmas they are very famous. There are many devotees who have appeared in this world, but these 12 are particularly famous. Yamaraj gave the names of 12. Among them, 4 were present before Priyavrata. So it's quite a lineup. Because they knew Priyavrata, he's very fixed in his vow. Brahmachari, actual Brahmachari is very fixed in his vow. Brihadrata, great vow. So Priyavrata, he hadn't formally taken a vow never to marry, as Bhishma had. But he wasn't expecting to get disturbed. He was just going on with his meditation, bhakti. He didn't expect to get disturbed. But all of a sudden, he's got all these heavyweights saying, "Hey, time to pack up. No more simple life for you. No more simple, sweet life. You've got to take charge of the universe." So Priyavrata was reluctant. And Narada, who we find is elsewhere, is very expert at, from Daksha's point of view, misleading Daksha's sons, Haryashvas and Shavalashvas. He preached to them that you shouldn't enter family life, you should just be brahmacharis and go back to Godhead. Don't waste your time getting spoiled like this. So Narad Muni, in this case, doesn't go against the desire of Brahma, Swayambhuva Manu, or Lord Shiva. Especially Brahma is coming to make the... He's the most senior, in one sense, in the matter of age, he's the most senior. So Nara doesn't go against them in this case. He supports that, all right, you be a grihastha, and later you won't be thwarted. Devotees are always well-wishers, even though their advice may sometimes seem to go against what that person, they themselves may think, what's good for my spiritual life. They may be told to do something else instead. We found that many times Srila Prabhupada did that. Just like Brahmananda in Africa. He didn't want to keep on going back. Prabhupada kept him. You go on, you stay there, do something. Even though it's very difficult for him. Trivikram Maharaj Japan. He was alone. Prabhupada said, it's all right for a sannyasi. You're paratmanishta. The sannyasis, they make this prayer. Etans astaya paratmanishtam. The vow of a sannyasi is to be fixed. Paratmanishtam adhyasitam purvatamai mahadvi. Fixed in the path of the great devotees, in service to the Supreme Lord, understanding him as Paramatma. Wherever I go, I'm not alone. Krishna is within the heart, Krishna is with me. So it's very difficult for him, a Prabhupada, to say, you go back, don't come back. It may be very nice to have good association and nice place, but Prabhupada often send devotees out, risking their spiritual lives, so that they could spread the Krishna consciousness movement. But such devotees, they were not the loser, even if they did fall away. Because they got Prabhupada's blessings, just like one of those Pushta Krishnas. He was Swami at the time. He was Srila Prabhupada's traveling secretary, and Prabhupada was very satisfied with his service. He was very efficient, very intelligent. But he told Prabhupada that I'm not having proper sadhana, I'm not chanting 16 rounds, I don't have time, I'm so busy. So Srila Prabhupada told him that, well, even if you don't chant 16 rounds, you just stay with me and I'll maintain your spiritual life. Even if you don't chant, if you have the blessings of a pure devotee, that's even more important than chanting 16,000 rounds. Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji Maharaj, he didn't have any beads, he didn't chant any rounds. He was a pure devotee. The gopis, they didn't chant any rounds. I'm not making a case here for not chanting rounds. I'm just saying that the mercy of a pure devotee is the vital factor in our spiritual life. So if we can do so much sadhana and bhajan and study and even service, but if we somehow or other we fail to get the mercy of pure devotees, it's not going to happen. So Priyavrata, he acceded to the desire of Lord Brahma and he got the mercy of Krishna through the great devotees, although it may have appeared that he wasn't getting the mercy because he apparently he was in a better position before as a brahmachari, fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. And then later he became what appeared to be like a materialistic sense enjoyer. He was a grihastha, king, seeing over the universe, but he wasn't bereft of the mercy of Lord Brahma, of which he might have been if he had not accepted his order. Now we have another case of the four Kumaras, who they were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, which means they had to get married. And they refused. And Lord Brahma is trying not to be angry, but it popped out of his head in the form of his anger, came out of his head in the form of Lord Shiva. The mode of ignorance, this wrongful anger is in the mode of ignorance. Not all anger is in the mode of ignorance. Hanuman, his anger, that's not in the mode of ignorance. That's transcendental. When Srila Prabhupada would get angry, which was often. We don't hear much about that these days. We hear all stories. We have pictures of Prabhupada smiling, but actually he was very heavy. But that anger is transcendental because it's focused on serving Krishna. So there was another case. But in this case, even if the four Kumaras had followed Lord Brahma's order, they could still have been Krishna conscious, but they thought, well, that's an entanglement. We don't want... Actually, they weren't in the beginning thinking of being Krishna conscious anyway. They were Brahmavadis. They were just simply interested in renunciation, not so much of being Krishna conscious. That came later when they went to Vaikuntha and smelt, no, not that they smelt, but the scent of Tulasi was carried by the breeze from Lord Vishnu's feet. And all that they'd done up to that time of being detached from matter and trying to be pure, fructified with smelling the smell of Tulsi offered to the feet of Lord Vishnu, and they became devotees. So Lord Brahma is saying that, just listen, you know, I'm not come as your enemy. There's some service for you to do. It's all right, you're a brahmachari, that's very good. But for your service, it's required to be a household. The Prabhupada, there's also a case in Vrindavan, that would be about, must have been 1974 approximately. The temple president, he wanted to leave. He was a brahmachari. He said, I can't go on with the management with all that and stay a brahmachari. So he wanted to leave and remain a brahmachari. And Prabhupada said, no, better get married and stay. Be the president. So I heard. And also in Vrindavan, there was one sannyasi, and Prabhupada was, he wanted to spend more time in Vrindavan. Prabhupada preached him and told him, no, you keep on moving. Told him, you keep on moving. Don't spend more than 3 days in one place. Don't stay in Vrindavan. And then right after that, another sannyasi, he told him, you stay in Vrindavan, don't leave. You have to manage. He was preaching to one, the sannyasi should always travel and preach. He preached the other, that you have a New Zealand passport, so you don't have any visa problems, so just stay here and manage this. So these are exactly which orders are given. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. To individuals, it may be different. That the general principle to serve Krishna, that is there. We have Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's 64 basic practices which every devotee has to follow. But specifically, what each devotee should do in their life, then they have to take orders from spiritual master. That you should do like this, you should do like this. And how to apply that practically in individual life. And even we see in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, some of the injunctions which are given, Srila Prabhupada, he didn't give us them to follow, and even one in particular, that the worship of Ganesh, Prabhupada said, don't do that. He said, which is done in all sampradayas, both Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. Prabhupada said, don't do it. You worship the pure devotees. Ganesh is the remover of obstacles. For this he is worshipped. Before there's any puja, Ganesh should be worshipped. But Srila Prabhupada said, you worship the pure devotee. He had the picture of the acharyas on the altar. They will remove the implicit in this is the understanding that the pure devotees, they will remove the obstacles to pure devotional service by their mercy. Now in this case, it seems like Lord Brahma is giving obstacles, one heavy, heavy obstacle. But again, Priyavrata, he's being asked to trust Lord Brahma, that what I'm saying to you, that is for your benefit. I'm not saying it to you out of envy. It's not like Indra when he sees some rishi meditating and he thinks, oh, now I'm in trouble. Now he's going to become more pious than me and more powerful than me and I'm going to get early retirement as Indra. Someone else will take over. It's not like that. Lord Brahma is not like that. He's concerned both with the welfare of the universe and the welfare of Priyavrata. So this is a point which often comes up in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's the need of the individual and the need of the institution. And they don't often seem, so often they seem not to coalesce. That we need so many devotees to do so many services, but the devotees' own needs are to rise early, go to Mangalati, chant their rounds in the morning, have sufficient hearing and chanting, and of course to do lots of service also. But often we find that the devotees that, well, there's so much service to do, so cut this program, cut that program, and somehow or other the show has to go on. But then the very point for which the devotees joined, unless they're very surrendered and can understand the principle of fully surrendered service, which most devotees are not on that platform. That's why we need to perform sadhana. That's why we do chant rounds. We're not gopis who they just always thought of Krishna and always ran to Krishna. We need to perform sadhana so that we can increase our attachment to Krishna. We have to perform service also so we can increase our attachment to Krishna. But if we're performing service without sufficiently and with a sufficient quality of hearing and chanting, then because our minds are not trained to think of Krishna, we'll be performing the service but not thinking of Krishna. And we'll wonder, why am I doing this? And we won't do it very nicely. So the individual need for hearing and chanting, if it's not fulfilled, well, the services might get done, but then the very purpose of people joining the temple so that they can make advancement in spiritual life is not fulfilled. So how to keep a balance between these two things is very difficult. There's no perfect balance, but both things have to be seen. In this case, Lord Brahma, he's asking Priyavrata to perform an act which is superficially damaging to Priyavrata's spiritual life. But Lord Brahma is saying, trust me. Just, you won't be the loser. If you do what I say, you won't be the loser. Even though it appears that your Krishna consciousness will be impeded, but don't worry, we'll look after you. We're all here. Myself, Narad, Shiva, Swayambhuva, we're all here, and we have your best interest at heart. Even though we're asking you to do something which may seem is not good for your spiritual life, don't worry. It will be looked after. Even though apparently you will recede in your spiritual life, don't worry. At the end, you will get Krishna consciousness. And in the meantime, the management of the universe will go on, because the purpose of the universe is not just as a prison house, but that's what they call in America. What do they call that? The reformation facility. They gave some euphemistic name to prisons. Correctional facility. It means a prison. But the idea is that you're supposed to be improved, corrected by going there. So the whole material world is a prison. It's a correctional facility. But then it needs to be administered by someone who has that understanding that it's a correctional facility. It's not just a place where you throw everyone in and they all just beat each other up. And you need someone in charge who's a fit person. Any institution. Beginning with, the smallest institution in society is a family. So, and then you get bigger ones right up to nations, and in between there are factories and charitable organizations and sports clubs and all kinds of temples, there are or churches, there are also institutions. So the quality of the institution, whether it's a family or a nation or a football club or whatever it is, or a temple, much depends on the qualifications and vision. Well, vision is one of the qualifications of the leader. So Lord Brahma, he didn't get that post by winning a lottery. He had to become qualified. Then he was given the position. So he needed someone highly qualified to oversee the universe, and he didn't see anyone as qualified as Priyavrata. So he wanted him to do that. So by performing that service, even though his own devotional involvement appeared to be decreased, but by performing that service to help others, by taking the position whereby he could manage the universe in a manner in which the function of the universe, the purpose of the universe is better fulfilled by having a good leader, then Priyavrata, by performing that service, pleased Lord Brahma and everyone else involved, and therefore he got their mercy, which he might not have got if he didn't accede to their order. He might have gone on with his chanting, but he would have been Well, first of all, to disobey the order of great personalities is that's a bad start. And then he might have been perceived as being selfish. Srila Prabhupada often spoke of that. What is this bhajana anandi? They're simply doing a little bhajan for their own spiritual advancement, but they're not interested in helping others. Prahlad Maharaj himself, he also made that point. Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse several times. What is that verse? The Parata Nishtha, those who are, there are many sadhus who are interested in their own spiritual advancement, but they are not Parata Nishtha, they're not dedicated to the welfare of others. How does that verse begin? Seems like you're a big pundit there. What's that? It's a well-known verse, but I'm not getting it.
I know it, but I don't understand.
I just remember those words, which are the key words. Maya sukaya bharamudvahato vimurhan chocheteto vimukhachetasa indriyata. But Prahlad Maharaj says, as far as I'm concerned, that I'm lamenting at the condition of these stupid people who are interested in sense enjoyment, who are averse to your service, Nrisimhadev. So, Priyavrata might have been considered like that. He's just interested in his own spiritual advancement, not interested in others. Okay, there's a few points. There's a lot more could be said, but I'll finish there. Are there any questions or comments, please? Have any comment, Rasamayi? No, all right. Yes, please.
Maharaj, with the case of the four Kumaras, when they came before Brahma, or he came before them, they disobeyed his order. Mm. They were, Srila Prabhupada comments that they had the option to do that because one can, even if a guru comes, they can disobey if they...
Well, that's not directly stated like that. It could be deduced, but it's not... I've often heard it said that Prabhupada said that you can disobey the order of the guru in this matter, but it's not directly said like that. What do you say? Brihan Mridanga, you're the great scholar of Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada doesn't directly say that. It can be deduced from, I can't remember exactly the words, but from Prabhupada's comments, but it's not directly said like that. That you can, it's sometimes it's said that you can disobey the order of the guru if he orders you to get married. But he doesn't directly say that. Yeah.
Service is more important than ashram.
Service is more important than ashram. Yeah, I think that sums up one of the major points I was making in that short class. It's not the external position we're in. We have to see how the service is going on.
Well, how is it then that the four Kumaras, instead of being condemned for not following the order of the guru, they're like glorified?
They're glorified. Well,
in the case of Priyavrata,
he was forced into that. Well, they did go on to become self-realized, didn't they? And their case was a little different to that of Priyavrata, where at the time of Priyavrata, there were already quite a lot of people in the universe, but Lord Brahma didn't see anyone better qualified than Priyavrata to take charge of the universe after Swayambhuva retires. Whereas in the case of the Kumaras, well, you know, Lord Brahma can just do a little mental fermentation for some time and have a few more sons, mental sons, and that's there were plenty. He made plenty more Prajapatis. It's not that he could make more like that. That's my speculation, I guess you can call it. Philosophical speculation, I hope, not mental speculation. There's a difference, as you know. Yes. Big drum. You have anything more to say?
printing press Das. Transcendental printing press. Anything else from the ladies? Comments? Questions? Yes?
One other thing is, if devotees ever want to reference how Brahma can be called Sri Bhagavan, Sanatana Goswami and Bhagavatamrita, he gives an explanation how certain personalities can also use the term Bhagavan.
Yeah, that's, there are many. Bhagavan Badarayanaha, we find also in the first canto by Asaki. Shukadeva Goswami is referred to as Bhagavan. Vyasa is referred to as Bhagavan. Shiva is referred to as Bhagavan. In modern usage, that term is understood to mean the Supreme Lord, although it seems that in Puranic usage it was more widely used. It's one of those 20 zillion things that need more research. We need a research institute. So many things. All right, so Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.